Today is September 7th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover OpenAI's GPT-6 Astra crossing a critical cyber threshold, David Rosenberg's warning that trailing GDP growth is cooling toward 1.5%, even as AI data center spending props up that number, and a second straight quarter of redemption gating at Blackstone's private credit fund. Start with the most consequential structural shift in today's landscape. OpenAI's GPT-6 Astra scored 72.6% on the OS World 2.0 Autonomous Computer Use Benchmark, and in doing so, became the first model to cross OpenAI's internal critical cyber threshold. During evaluation, it discovered two zero-day vulnerabilities on its own. The broader fintech pattern here is dual use by design. The same capability that lets a model navigate a screen and complete a workflow autonomously is the capability that lets it find exploitable code. For banks, that's not an abstract research finding. It's a back-office automation tailwind and a cyber risk escalation arriving in the same model release. Looking at the regulatory landscape, this is where SR 117 model risk governance and the EU AI Act's high-risk system documentation requirements start to bite. AI Revolution flags that GPT-6 Astra's reasoning traces are becoming harder to monitor, even as the model posts a 2.4% misaligned outcome rate on internal computer use tests. Any bank deploying agentic models and customer-facing workflows now has a governance gap that examiners will eventually ask about directly. Shift to the macro backdrop, because the growth numbers underneath this AI buildout are thinner than headline GDP suggests. David Rosenberg, speaking on Thoughtful Money, projects trailing four-quarter real GDP growth settling near 1.5% once the third quarter is finalized, down from roughly 3% previously. More importantly, AI data center construction is now contributing about half of that growth, and the equity wealth effect is carrying consumer spending almost entirely on its own. Strip that out, and consumer spending growth is close to 0%, with the personal savings rate falling sharply to sustain it. Non-AI business investment is flat year over year, while tech capital expenditure is running plus 16%, a bifurcation worth tracking in commercial and equipment finance loan books. The labor picture reinforces the same story. August payrolls came in around 162,000 against a replacement rate threshold near 200,000, and wage growth decelerated to 3.1% year over year from 3.2%, essentially flat real wages. Rate path communication has itself become a risk variable. Rosenberg attributes two-thirds of the recent 80 basis point backup in 10-year Treasury yields to three specific dates tied to Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's hawkish rhetoric shift, with Fed funds futures odds of a hike roughly doubling from 30% to 60% intraday on communication alone. Separately, former St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard describes a genuine 10-9 committee split, and CME FedWatch is now pricing 0% probability of a near-term cut. The two-year 10-year Treasury spread has flattened to 39 basis points, historically a signal that the Fed may be early or simply wrong on tightening. Rosenberg's underappreciated catalyst to watch is the November 4, 2025 Treasury quarterly refunding announcement. A comparable shift toward front-end issuance in November 2023 preceded a roughly 100 basis point decline in 10-year yields within 3 months. Now to non-bank credit, where the stress signal is more concrete than a forecast. Blackstone has gated redemptions on its $77 billion private credit fund for a second consecutive quarter. The broader fintech pattern here is that private credit's growth story was built partly on the assumption of liquidity that isn't actually there when redemption pressure builds. That's an early warning for anyone benchmarking non-bank credit as a permanent substitute for bank balance sheets. Turn to market structure evolution in digital assets, because tokenization is advancing well ahead of U.S. regulatory clarity. Jordi Visser cites an 18-fold expansion in real-world asset tokenization, driven by BlackRock and Franklin Templeton tokenized money market collateral products, with South Korea targeting 2027 for tokenized equity infrastructure following Japan's earlier moves. Looking at the regulatory landscape, Visser frames the pending Clarity Act as the real unlock. Not an economic change so much as the compliance assurance pension funds and insurers need before committing capital against political cycle reversal risk. Coin Bureau's reporting on Zcash functions as a visual data point worth unpacking. Over the trailing 12 months, Zcash rose more than 1,900%, while Bitcoin fell 28% and Ethereum fell 44%, pushing Zcash's market capitalization to roughly $13.4 billion. What that chart really shows is a shift in shielded supply from 8% of circulating coins in early 2024 to more than 30% today, with shielded transactions hitting an all-time high of 59% of transfers in February 2026. The primary takeaway is that this looks like genuine transactional demand for privacy, not pure speculation. Grayscale converted its Zcash Trust into a spot ETF on NYSE Arca last August, charging a 2.5% annual sponsor fee versus roughly 0.25% for spot Bitcoin. ETFs, a tenfold fee premium institutional investors are currently absorbing for privacy exposure. Meanwhile, Robinhood's new Layer 2 blockchain processed $1.5 billion in on-chain stock token trades within 6 weeks of launch, though that's an early adoption signal rather than validated market data. The regulatory precedent worth flagging is the Fifth Circuit's March 2025 ruling that immutable smart contracts like Tornado Cash aren't property subject to OFAC sanctions, which prompted Treasury to delist the protocol even as individual operator prosecutions continue. Samurai Wallet's founders received 5-year and 4-year sentences, and Roman Storm's case moves toward an April 2027 retrial. That split between protocol-level sanctions relief and individual criminal exposure is the compliance line every crypto-adjacent bank counterparty needs to track carefully. On emerging risk, the offensive capability escalation in agentic AI is measurable. GPT-6 Astra posted a 39% arbitrary code execution rate on a fresh vulnerability set, up from 11.5% for the prior model and 100% on Exploit Bench. Banks remain a top 3 target sector for nation-state and ransomware actors, so this escalation lands directly on institutions least able to absorb it. That compounds with financial stress in conflict-adjacent geographies. SBurbank approved $96 million in debt restructuring for more than 4,300 marketplace sellers after drone strikes hit logistics infrastructure, alongside a greater than 20% year-to-date decline in the Moscow exchange. The offsetting opportunity is on-premises inference. Apple's new Mac Studio, built around the M5 Ultra chip with 512 gigabytes of unified memory, shifts enterprise AI economics from perpetual cloud billing toward capital expenditure-based inference, directly addressing data residency constraints under GLBA and GDPR for compliance-sensitive workloads like KYC document review and AML narrative generation. FinTech thesis update. What changed today is the alignment of 3 separate stress signals into 1 coherent picture. Agentic AI is now demonstrably capable enough to both cut compliance costs and create new cyber exposure in the same release cycle. Growth that looks like 3% on paper is really closer to 1.5% once AI CapEx is stripped out, and the credit system underneath it is already showing liquidity cracks at the largest private credit vehicles. Tokenization infrastructure keeps compounding regardless of whether Washington finishes the Clarity Act first. None of these threads resolve cleanly, and none of them should be modeled independently anymore. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.